unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And, of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, feel free to go to SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. There's a lot to get into today. Make no mistake about it. We got game one for the college football Final Four playoffs. Ole Miss going up against Miami. We definitely got to get into that tomorrow night. It'll be Oregon versus Indiana in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl's tonight, you know, Scottsdale, Arizona. Can't wait to get into all of that because it's worth getting into, no doubt about it. You know, Trinidad Chambliss is a bad brother, and he's got a crew that can put up points in bunches. Of course, Miami's got their defense led by Reuben Bain Jr. and Massador and what they can bring to the table in terms of getting to the quarterback. And I think that's going to be the decision in this game, not to mention the fact that Miami's got a secondary capable of covering you one-on-one better than Georgia or anybody else could. So we got to take all of those things into consideration as we dissect this matchup and think about Ole Miss versus Miami. I'd also like you to take this into consideration as we sit here and contemplate a few things. Number one, what's the best story in college football that's left? You got a lot of people out there talking about Lane Kiffin. You got a lot of people out there sitting around talking about how he departed from Ole Miss. And because he departed from Ole Miss to take the LSU job, these kids going to go out and prove they got a chip on their shoulders. It's like he abandoned them, and they're determined to go out and show that he made a mistake by departing from them to go to LSU, and they're going to show him, and that's going to galvanize them and catapult them to a national championship. That's the whole mentality. Others are looking at Indiana and talking about how this school was nothing, and then Cignetti comes along, and in just 2 years, he's accomplished a 25-2 record. He's back-to-back coach of the year. They're the number one ranked team in the nation. They've been in the college football playoffs both years, and on top of it all, they're the favorites to win the national title right now. Of course, there's always Dan Lanning with Oregon and what he brings to the table. And you got a cat in Dante Moore that's projected to be the number two overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft, okay? And whether or not he'll end up doing just that remains to be seen. My attitude is the New York Jets have the number two overall pick. And because of that, he shouldn't even want to come out. He shouldn't even want to come out. And because of that, a Jets player decided to go on social media and come at me. That's something I'll get into as the show progresses today. I'll touch on that. And then, of course, I think is what I believe to be the best storyline left. And that's the Miami Hurricanes and what they bring to the table and what I think it would do for college football. I want you to think about what college football was back in the days, in the 80s, the 90s, in the year 2001, when they won their last national championship. I want you to think about how big time this program was. I want you to think about Michael Irvin and what he meant to them, Ray Lewis and what he meant to them, Ed Reed and Ezrin James and cats like that, and what they mean to the program, what the program means to them, and what it means to college football. Here's the biggest reason why I believe so many people should be rooting for the Miami Hurricanes. And it's not because the national championship game is going to be in Miami on their home turf. It's not that at all. This is the biggest reason I believe that the Miami Hurricanes should be the one folks are rooting for to win the national title. They're not in the Big Ten. They're not in the SEC. And if Miami turns around and wins the national championship coming out of the ACC conference, even though Clemson did it twice with Dabo Sweeney, it's just a different animal. And I think it will have a different, more profound collective impact on the college football landscape. I think we'll be looking at college football in a much, much greater light next season and in the years to come, because you're looking at a team like Miami. And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, these brothers could go out there and recruit. They could get some big-time players to come to this program. Make no mistake about it. You take into account NIL. You take into account the transfer portal as well. And you see all of these things that are happening. Could you imagine what the Miami Hurricanes will be able to do to people? They will be able to come there. Now, I'm familiar with that territory down there, Coral Gables. And I'm here to tell you something right now. Anybody will want to go there. Anybody will want to go there. So if you're talking about a big-time program or something that can become a big-time program once again, where you're being able to recruit against the Big Ten and against the SEC, excuse me, this is it. I look at Indiana, and if you win, major props to the school as an individual entity, but in the same breath, I'm also looking at them and I'm saying, wait a minute, Michigan just won the national title 2 years ago. Ohio State won it last year. For the third year in a row, a Big Ten team, a different Big Ten team, would have won the national title. If that's how stuff is going down, my mentality is that's not good. That's not good at all. Because to me, it's like, okay, the only storyline left, as far as I'm concerned, is when you're looking at it and you're saying, you know something? The big story here, if Indiana were to win a national title, is that we don't need to be talking about the SEC as the best conference in football any longer. You ain't won a national title in the last several years. And on top of it all, three different schools from the same Big Ten conference would have won back-to-back-to-back titles. No more noise about the SEC being the creme de la creme. Can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. Now, they'll say, hey, we got Ole Miss in the mix, and Ole Miss, an SEC school, if they were to beat Miami. All right, you got Ole Miss going up against Indiana, unless Oregon's able to beat them, which I don't know will happen. If Oregon doesn't beat them, and E.J. Manuel is wrong, who was on this show earlier this week as an exceptional college football analyst, and they're wrong, and he's wrong about Oregon beating Indiana, and instead Indiana beats Oregon, which I expect to happen, then you got the SEC against the Big Ten with a national championship on the line, and then that's a different narrative. But if Miami beats Ole Miss, and then they turn around, and they're in the national championship game, and Indiana is their opponent, and they beat Indiana, then we're talking about Miami taking out the SEC in the semifinals and the Big Ten in the national championship game. I think that's a phenomenal story for college football. I think it's not exactly parody like it is in the NFL, because it ain't like Tulane or James Madison pulled this off. But in the same breath, it does expand the field to some degree and make things very, very interesting in terms of talent going to selective schools. And I think that we have to look at that. That's my belief. Miami's the best story. What's yours? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Let me get to another storyline. And that involves Mr. Lane Kiffin. You know something? There were times I thought I had image problems. It ain't nothing compared to Lane Kiffin. I mean, this dude right here, he can't get right when it comes to his imagery. As a football coach, let me be very, very clear. If Ole Miss wins, this is Lane Kiffin's team that won. If Ole Miss wins, this is Lane Kiffin's team. When it comes to Ole Miss, be very, very clear. Lane Kiffin recruited those players. Lane Kiffin hired those coaches. This Ole Miss team is Lane Kiffin's team, even though he's left. Even though he's left. You can say what you want about Golding. You can say what you want about Charlie Weiss Jr. and give them all the praise in the world. They deserve it. But Lane Kiffin's team, this is his team. And so this notion that if Ole Miss wins, Lane Kiffin will look bad, in whose eyes? Who the hell said that? I don't know what the hell these people are talking about. It makes absolutely, positively no sense whatsoever. Lane Kiffin doesn't look bad if Ole Miss wins. He didn't leave the program thinking that they couldn't win the national title. He left the program because he's thinking about the next 5-10 years down the road. And from a long-term perspective, he's of the mindset and the belief that it's best for him to be at LSU in Baton Rouge instead of Oxford, Mississippi. Now, I know that there are people out in Mississippi that get a bit sensitive about this particular subject. I mean no harm. I truly don't. I mean no harm. What I want to say to y'all, because it's incredibly important that I say this to you. I want you to understand that there may be great fans in Mississippi. There's great people in Mississippi. I told you, I have a dear, dear friend of mine named Rhonda, who is married in a wonderful family, wonderful husband who used to play there, and they rave about Ole Miss. She reminds me on a weekly basis for the last 2 months how fly Ole Miss is and how much of a great institution it is. And I got it. But that's for people who went there and people who know about that place. Now, I know the athletic director sent me some tweet, invite me down there. Sir, I'm not coming until I have to. I'm not coming. I'm a busy man and I don't have time to come to Mississippi. And I'm not in any way saying that it's a bad place to be. I'm not talking about Oxford, Mississippi being a bad place. I'm not talking about the state of Mississippi being a bad place. I'm certainly not talking about the citizens in there, the American citizens who live there being bad people. I would never do that. I would never castigate and label collectively or with a broad brush people like that. I'm not saying that. I'm not speaking ill of Mississippi in that regard. What I am saying is, if you are black and you are not from there, when you hear the word Mississippi, it gives you cause to pause because of its history. That's it. I mean, nothing more than that. And I'm saying that if I feel that way, I imagine there's a plethora of parents out there who feel that way and may be a bit hesitant when it comes to sending their kid there to play football. Now, there's many parents who won't. And there's some from Mississippi and its surrounding areas that go to the school. More props and power to you. But anybody worth their salt knew that Lane Kiffin was making the right decision by departing from Ole Miss to go to LSU from a long-term perspective. Not this year. Has nothing to do with this year's team. They can rally around that and find an excuse and a reason and a rationale to point to this stuff as a reason they need to come together and all that. Fine. Do whatever it takes for you to give you an edge to win. If you Ole Miss, go for it. But know that people like me and many, many others, we're not speaking ill of people there. We're not speaking ill of the university. We're not speaking ill of the athletic department. We're not speaking ill of its fan base. We're not doing anything. What we're saying is, from an historical perspective, when you hear Mississippi, it gives you cause to pause. That's all. Nothing more than that. But that pause may influence you to go someplace other than Ole Miss or Mississippi State. That's just a fact. That's all. Nothing more. No casting aspersions against the program, the university, the city it represents. Nothing like that. You're just talking about history and how certain things lights up in your head when you hear it. Mississippi is one of those things. It just is. If you were thinking about Jim Crow laws, you'd be thinking about Mississippi. Ain't the only place you'd be thinking about, but you certainly would be thinking about Mississippi. Movie they named after, Mississippi Burning, starring Gene Hackman. Remember that? Talk about all of that stuff. Just happens. And the actor that played the Joker on Batman. I'm sorry, on Spider-Man. You think about that. You just do. Just want you to know that. It's very, very important that you understand that. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. I was going to wait until hour number two, but I'm telling my producers now I'm changing course because I got this on my mind right now involving the New York Jets, and I just wanted to get it off my chest. Okay? I just thought it was necessary to get it off my chest. So yesterday, I was on First Take, my day job. And the question was asked that if Dante Moore, the quarterback at Oregon, projected to be the number 2 overall pick in the draft, if he would have come out in the draft, which is expected, of course. Should he want to go to the Jets? And what I said is, I'd catch a virus or food poisoning or something to make me sick and not that attractive to the New York Jets so I could avoid going to them. Because rather than just saying it myself, let me re-air for you what I said on First Take Wednesday afternoon when the subject of the New York Jets was broached. Listen to this, please. I'd eat something to provoke myself to have food poisoning where I'm like garbage before I'd play for the Jets. I'm telling you right now, whatever I could do to be alive and be okay in the end, but to ruin their thoughts of ever wanting me on their roster, I would do. And damn it, I'd go back to college before I play for the Jets. They are a football atrocity. They are awful. So, in the immediate aftermath of that, I reminded the world, I didn't stutter. I didn't mince my words one bit. And 24 hours later, I still say the same thing. Because of that, star wide receiver, because the brother can play, Garrett Wilson, goes out and puts this tweet out about yours truly. First Take, Stephen A. Smith. Damn, you got to be a real sellout and above all a square to be on ESPN nowadays. Used to love that show. End quote. So naturally, since Garrett Wilson decided to use those words and the tweet about me, I felt compelled to respond. I could re-air what I said this morning about the Jets and Garrett Wilson on ESPN, but no need, because my feelings haven't changed, and I still feel that way, and I can articulate it right in front of y'all. To Garrett Wilson, first of all, my brother, you're 25 years of age. We're going to use the word sellout because I talked about your organization being trash. That's what we're doing. Not very bright, my brother. Not a very bright take at all. But I understand. You signed a 4-year, $130 million contract extension, $90 million guaranteed last July. And you have no hope of winning for the foreseeable future because the organization is horrible. And also, you heard me say that I can't believe that Aaron Glenn still has his job. So I guess because he's a black coach, I'm not supposed to be able to say anything. I'm going to quote Jerry Jones and what he said a few weeks ago when he was on this very show, live from Dallas. I don't play that shit. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Unless, of course, I'm on General Hospital acting, and then obviously I'm acting. But I say what I mean, I mean what I say. Garrett Wilson, in no way was I talking about you, my brother. I wasn't talking about any of the players. I'm talking about the organization that you work for, led by the former ambassador of the UK, who unfortunately decided to return to his post as owner of the New York Jets, who is awful when it comes to making football decisions. Awful. Allow me to count the ways. The New York Jets since their last playoff berth, which is 2010, are the third worst team in the National Football League behind the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns. During this time, 28 of the NFL's 31 other teams have won playoff games. The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years. The New York Jets have not had a winning record since 2015. That's 10 years, 15 years absent from the playoffs, 10 years absent from a winning record. They haven't won a division crown since 2002 when Herm Edwards was coaching the team. They are awful. They have not drafted a Pro Bowl quarterback for them since Ken O'Brien in 1983, which, by the way, in case you didn't know, okay, is nearly 50 years ago. And you're mad about Ken O'Brien because every time you hear his name, that's the dude they passed up on Dan Marino for to draft. Dan Marino. The New York Jets. They are awful. And what I was pointing out is that who would want to play for that organization? You're on your sixth coach and your sixth GM in the last 10 years, 10, 15 years. Six different coaches, six different general managers. Who does that? The Jets. This is bad. This is awful. These are the New York Jets. So I understand you coming to the defense of this team that you play for. They're your employers. I respect that. I just want you to know, Garrett Wilson, I wasn't talking about you and the players. I think there's several players on the New York Jets that could go elsewhere and make big time contributions to another team. It ain't your fault. I think that you're a bit foolish for coming at me the way that you did because you need somebody like me and others clapping back at the New York Jets so they could get their act together and give you a team that you can be proud to represent. Because they're not doing anything for you. That's what I think, Garrett Wilson. I'm not pointing the finger at you. You're a stud. Deserve every penny you're getting. Ryan Clark's son plays on the team. Put him out there for the last six games of the season. I wouldn't do that to Ryan Clark. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to any of y'all. If it were the players, I'd say so. It's not that. And as it pertains to Aaron Glenn, Ryan Clark swears he's the leader of men. And he's somebody that's deserving of this opportunity. Fair enough. I'm cool with it. No problem. That's not how I look this year. The Jets were a national embarrassment. And maybe it's because they were throwing games on purpose so they could try to get the number one overall pick and they ended up with number two. Okay. Makes sense. But they got outscored by a minimum of 23 points the last six or seven games of the season. They were outscored by almost 150 points. Aaron Glenn was a cornerback that recorded 41 interceptions in his career and six pick sixes. And his first year being a head coach of a defense, they didn't record one single interception. The first team in NFL history since that statistic was put out there that has failed to do that. The Jets are hot garbage. And I'm happy that Aaron Glenn didn't lose his job. I think he deserved it. If they had done it, I don't think anybody in New York would say otherwise, but I'm happy he's getting another chance. I wasn't rooting for him to be fired. I'm saying he's lucky he wasn't because that's how bad they were. You know what? I would tell you it would be hard for the Jets to show their faces in the streets of New York. But the reality is that no one would know your faces. Because that level of ineptitude on the part of the team doesn't allow people to want to know you. Hot garbage, New York Jets, organizationally. Facts. Period. That is the deal. Now, if that is perceived as selling out instead of looking out, I don't know what to tell you. But I cover sports. And I'm going to do my job in calling it like I see it. The Jets are an atrocity. They are a national football embarrassment. And it's been going on for years. Garrett Wilson, the New York Jets, haven't been to the playoffs since you were in middle school, bro. Middle school! Middle school, bro. You weren't even in high school the last time the New York Jets win the playoffs. I'm deducing that from the fact that you're 25 years of age and they ain't been in the playoffs since you were 10. Come on, bro. That's not a Stephen A. problem. That's a Woody Johnson problem. As it pertains to people watching First Take, we've been number one for 13 years. April will make 14 consecutive years we've been number one. Oh, by the way, we just completed a year where it was record ratings, the highest viewership ratings in the history of the show. You don't have to watch First Take, nor do you have to go on. It doesn't stop the show, and it doesn't stop the train. Just like he on SiriusXM, it ain't going to do it either. Because there ain't a single damn caller that's going to call me a liar about what I just said about the New York Jets. I wasn't talking about the players. Talking about the organization. Horrible and in desperate need of improvement. I said it yesterday, I'm saying it today, and I'm going to say it until you show me something different. That's the facts. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. We are coming back next with the one and only Nicole Arback, college football analyst extraordinaire, graduate of Michigan, by the way, is going to be on talking with us about that. Okay, so, and then after that, I'll get to y'all calls as well. I promise you, ain't nobody going to disagree with what I just said. I promise you that.